us, Heavenly Father, once again, Lord, we are thankful to be here this morning, coming together, Lord, together, and worship the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Holy Father, we want to glorify Thy name in our life, Lord, to be found worthy, Father, of walking in this precious life that You have given us. In the word that, Lord, You have given us to light up our pathway in this life that we are journeying on. We want to glorify Thee in our life, Father, by words, by our action, by every being, Lord, that's within us. Father, well, we pray, Lord, You receive all our praises. We bless Thy name, even though, Lord, if there be anything in our heart that we have done contrary to Thee, we know, Lord, You look upon us and You still see our needs, Lord. You look beyond our fault, Father, and You see our needs, and You work it out, Father, in our life. We know, Lord, You are guiding us and dealing with us, Lord. And especially in this last day now, as we see in the horizon, Father, the thing that is soon to come to take place, Lord, when there will be a great revival in the life of the saints of God that will make up the bride that will be taken away. And we see all these things, Father, come to pass. We pray, Lord, You continue to help us to be faithful, Lord, to that which You have given us, and become worthy to be a part of those that are raptured up to meet with the Lord Jesus Christ in the air. We commit each and every one of ourselves, Father, to You. You continue, Lord Jesus, to shape our life and bring us to the place of perfection, not just in the word, but in our character and life, Lord. Take not away the joy of our salvation that we have in Christ Jesus. Let nothing, Father, take the peace away from us, that joy, that happiness. We know, Lord, if we are in Thy hand, we stay therefore in Thy hand. Unless, Father, as we know the Lord Jesus says, nobody, no man can take us out of His hand. But Lord, until we can do it ourselves by just getting out of You. And which thing, Father, Lord, we know if we have done that, we have gone very far from You. So we pray that we not stray too far from Calvary, for that in Calvary is where the life is, Lord, the joy of what had been accomplished there for us. So we thank You, Father, as You approach Thy word, we ask for Your blessing now in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. We just go to where we left off and like to just recap a few things. Just wonder why we have to always go and recap a few things, but it is important that we recap some of these. Now, in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, where, you know, just to recap a little, I just feel that some people, some believer might be asking some question like, the plant and the trees came upon the earth on the third day. And there was no sunlight yet. The sunlight came on the fourth day. So, how did the tree grow? But of course, apparently, that the person doesn't really think about it. You think that it takes, you know, upon to grow up with the sun. But you know, I already say this, if this is a 24-hour day, the evening and morning were the first day, this 24-hour day, and if on the third day God bring about the trees are all matured. God brought them out. It's just like an artist painting trees on his canvas, one after another. Isn't that right? An artist don't paint with a with the seed and then slowly let it grow and things like that. That would be very funny, isn't it? So you don't need sunlight or anything like that, but after all, God is light and the plants are all on the earth were brought forth. You understand that? Of course, unless people believe that it's 1,000-year day, and it takes, of course, 1,000 years for those seeds in the tree to grow. You know, some of those redwood in California and all this, some of them are very old, hundreds and thousands of years old. Some of them are thousands of years old. Now, that's what we know about growing. But when God bring those trees up on the third day, they are all brought forth instantly. And people find it very hard to accept this. But it wouldn't be strange that men or believers could accept that when God made Adam, Adam was not a baby that grew up in 24 hours. You know what I mean? He was made a complete matured man. You understand that now? Because I can see some people that have that kind of thinking, you know. Alright, so it's not about the egg and then the chicken. But the chicken first and before there was ever egg. I hope you understand that now. Alright, so let us proceed to go on. Now we talk about the man, and we know in the sixth day, on verse 26 again, he said, let us make man our own image, and after our likeness here, man was formed. Now remember this, I've said this before, that when we look at creation, we don't try to learn what science teaches us and try to make it fit into the scriptures by the standard, by to say, make the Bible fit science instead of science fitting the Bible. You understand that? And I already mentioned it that when God created the sea creature, it is one particular day. When God created land creature, it's another particular day. So don't try to tell me about the mammoth, you know, one brother animal that is in the sea, and that they are actually created on the sixth day. That it doesn't, Bible don't categorize that. God separate them. Now I want you to look at one verse in chapter 2. Here in verse 4, these are the generation of the heaven and the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord made the heaven and the earth. Now, it says, these are the generation. Now, remember, this word generation, it comes from the Hebrew word to lida. And it's not Noah, which means age. Now, this generation is different. Now, you go to Genesis chapter 7, verse 1, just to show the difference. Genesis chapter 7, verse 1. And the Lord said to Noah, come down and all the house into the ark, for thee I have seen righteous before me in this generation. This word generation means age. Like our generation. Okay? The age of a person. The age of civilization. This is what we call generation. But when you go to chapter 2 verse 4, these are the generation it is translated, these are the history. Family history. You understand? Family history. And if you look at it carefully, the creation day of 6 days, each of them is a history of a creation period, of a particular event that happened on the first day, second day, third day, and so on. You understand that? Now, if the Bible used the other word generation, which means age, then you can say, wow, it is not history. It is about the length of time. Of thousands of years or millions of years, you know, as one particular day. As some people believe that one day is 1,000 years. And they believe that, when you remember Peter said that in his epistle? To the Lord one day is 1,000 years, 1,000 years one day. They were thinking therefore that these 6 days creation should be mixed into 6,000 years of creation. But means every day, first day, second day, and so on, is 1,000-year period. And God let the seed grow over 1,000 years. The tree to come out. And then let the animals in the sea, I don't know how, you know, they all come from a little cell somehow. You know, and all the animals on the land must have just come out also like that, slowly, slowly grow up from little puppies. And I don't know what the imagination is all about. But the fact is, the Bible is clear in what it says, a period of time, or the history. You understand? We will say, in the 20th century, this is called history, huh? This event happened. First World War, Second World War. In the 19th century, such and such thing happened. That will be called generation or period, you know, of history. So the word generation here used is different from the generation used when we regarding a span of an age of time. Alright? But this is more on dealing with the record of what was being done. Okay? Alright. So, what we are, now we're going to deal today with a little bit of the Adamic man. Now, today, you and I know that you are not from Adam. A lot of people say we are all Adamic. We're not pure Adamic. Huh? You know that, don't we? We are not Adamic man. We all don't come directly from the descendant of Adam purely. Huh? We will say that today we are all Noahic men. Is that right? Because it's out of the three sons of Noah that the whole world today is populated. It never traced back to Adam, but traced back actually to Noah. Of course, people who don't see the serpent seed, they will say we are all Adamic. Huh? But which is actually very wrong. Alright? So we realize then that on the sixth day when God created man, remember all the animals already created. The evening and the morning were the first day. Now God's, in Hebrew, we know it starts in the evening. Of course, reckon today's time, 6 p.m. That is to say, if we, by today 6 p.m., it will be a new day for the Jew. The Jew starts 6 hours ahead of the Gentile time, which begins on the midnight. So-called midnight. So they are 6 hours earlier. So let's imagine why you would think, isn't that strange? I don't know how did we get this time of midnight. Why do you begin time at midnight? Why don't begin time at 6 a.m. in the morning? You know what I mean? Why don't we begin 6 a.m. in the morning as a new day? You know? Why go on midnight? Kind of strange. Which I think all, we gender are all screwed up, you know? We don't even know what's what. But then you ask, what about God? What did He start in the evening? The same thing is that when the sun set, people rest. People say, I work so hard, I rest. No, rest first, then you work. Because you've got no strength to work, you must first rest. You agree or not? You see, so we must rest first and gain strength before we work. But the trouble is that, oh, we work hard, now we go to rest. That is the Gentile concept. But in the Hebrew concept is that they rest first. So you have the evening and the morning. Now, we're on the sixth day when God began to create the animals on the land. Well, I believe that if you want to take a little sort of look into it, maybe and reason a little bit, we realize that we know that God creation of animal or anything in particular always start from the small species, or the smaller creature, and then go all the way up. And the same thing, like when we go to school, we start from a primary school and all the way up. So we all must begin from the bottom up. And so if we were to take that, in the evening when God began, the sixth day God began to create, we would say like, oh, it's dark, you know, the sun already set. Well, we would think about, well, what kind of animal? He could maybe like a little mouse. I mean, mouse always come in the dark, you know, or the rodent that comes in the night. And they are little creatures, for example. So the sun began to rise, little creatures were created. God, you know, for 24 hours, you know, He take to create. One after another, the animal He called up Simpat, you know. So by the time on the 6 days, as the sun goes right down towards the evening, well, He got a serpent. He created a serpent. Last of all the animal in the field. And the wisest, He was one step, you know, above all the others, and one step lower than Adam. So after creating the serpent, then God created man. Now the other thing different is this, is that in the creation of the animals, if you were to look in verse 24 of chapter 1, God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind. Beast after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind. Cattle after their kind. And so on. So he made them. And we know how he made them. He made them from the dust of the ground. People say, why did the Bible say that he made the animal out of the dust of the ground? Well, chapter 2, You know in verse 19, now you got it. And out of the ground, the Lord God, from every beast of the field. Right? But in a sea creature, there was nothing mentioned about that God used the dust of the ground to create fish. Do you understand? You might tell me, oh, the whale is a mammal. The dolphin is a mammal. Well, I mean, that is what science categorizes it, so it doesn't make difference to what the Bible said. So you might say, well, did the porpoise, did the dolphin, did God create them out of dust? They are animals. Remember that? And then what about the platypus? That guy lays egg. That is a warm-blooded creature. But he lays it. You know. So what then? So we as I said, look into the Bible, and God will always buffer the mind of many scientists. So we stick to what the Bible says about the day in the history of creation. And to make a difference that the animal on the land is completely different from the animal of the sea and the birds that fly. Got it? Ever seen a mammal with feathers? I haven't seen one, you know. Perhaps someday they might. The science says they discover some. You know, in the paper quite some time ago, they discovered some creatures in Thailand or some place. They're supposed to be extinct millions of years. The scientists are all a lot of storytelling. You know, they say, "Oh, extinct so many years. It's here. Oh, it wasn't there." But you know, very strange, isn't it? But one of these days, they might find something out there in the jungle somewhere. It's an animal with feathers. Then they get a bit more weird now. They say, oh, this one is billions of years. Isn't it? So, scientists is always just trying to theorize a lot of things. But we just keep ourselves to the Word of God. So, we know that on the sixth day, God created the animals from the dust of the ground. He formed them out of dust of the ground. And this for me is just the same way that God formed the body for Adam. Right? You must understand, right? But, do you remember this? On the sixth day when God brought the creature onto the land, they were all made from the ground, dust on the ground. But when it comes to creation of man, it is totally completely different than all the other creation. In that, in chapter 1, verse 26, God said, let us make man your own image and after our likeness. And that is what distinguished man from all the other creatures that God had made. Huh? And so don't let Buddhism or some religion tells you that when you die, in the next life you'll reincarnate to some animals or in the higher levels or whatever. Okay? Isn't it? Huh? If you've done good, you'll become maybe a higher, like in India, from a low caste to higher caste. Huh? Or maybe you'll be born a prince in the next life. Or the princess. But if you've done bad, you become a pig. If you're a very dirty person, you will go become a pig or something, you're wicked, to something else. That is not true. And just as much as evolution, it's also not true. That we evolve from animals is not true. The Bible clearly tells us, take plainly, that man was made in the image and the likeness of God. The Bible states it so, just like Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Fact! Stop! Scientists can argue with it. Deny it. They can deny any way they like. The only time when they come to the truth will be when they stand to face God in judgment. That there is no God. And while they stand before God, they will see God and they will be too late. And if the Bible tells us that God made man in his own image and his own likeness, we have to accept the fact that this creature that God created called Adam, man, is different from other creation. And we realize that in verse 27, it says God created man in his own image. But there was no likeness created here. It mentions straight only that God created man in his own image. And he tells you what the image is. In the image of God create he him, male and female created him. That this image that God created was man. And that in him was male and female. Now, of course, when I was in the denomination, I I didn't know nothing about this, you know, I just hear what the preacher said, and because after all, he got a PhD, or the DD, we think about it, he knows better, you know. That God created Adam and made him a dust and put him, his spirit in there and became a living soul. You know, and then after that he brought forth the woman, and that's what he means here in verse 1, verse 26. But to me, you know, now we know better. That there are actually God create man, first of all, in his image, which is a spirit. Just like him. That's why the word of God that came out of God is in that image. You understand that? It is not something that is of the earth. Not some material thing. It's a spiritual thing. You understand? Huh? It's not material. That is, you can touch. Right? You see? That's why we always want as a spirit. Remember I explained this one time? What is a spirit? Well, it's just like a spark of light. A spark of light. Or just light itself. A spark. Light. You know, that's what the spirit is all about. But you know what? As I said, when you were to die today, you go over to paradise, you will be able to see all the saints there. You understand? Of course, when you are there, you can see everybody has there. I can tell you, you can see the future and everything. You know? But if we were to see in this dimension, into that dimension, we will see probably lights. Like the angels. If you see the angel move, you will see light. That is the spirit move. Remember all that? Remember the light over Barabbas' head and all that? They're just the light. Or the spirit. You know? Do you get it? But if we are in that dimension, the angels see the angel, they can see who they are. So it's a perception of where you are and what dimension you are in to be able to perceive. You know? Right now, it's said that Brother Abraham one time told a sister, you know, I think she was pining away from the mother or something. And then Brother Abraham told her, he says, your mother is not a few feet from where you are. You know? If God can permit to take the veil away, you will see her right here. But that is in the sixth dimension. And yes, right here. And I said, well, for where are all these seven dimensions? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Where is that? It's all here. You know, on this heaven and this earth. It's only veiled up. We cannot cross over. We cannot see them. They cannot see us. You got it? They cannot cross over. We cannot cross over them. So that's what dimensions are. It's only when God removes a veil that you can see it. That's the reason also in the tabernacle of Moses, separating the most holy place from the holy place is a veil. And nobody could see what's behind it. You know right? You see? There is the Ark of the Covenant there. Inside the Ark of the Covenant is the pot of manna. And Aaron's rod divided, isn't it? And the law are kept in there. The three things there. But the priest can only minister on the outside, the holy place, with this veil right there, and in front of the veil is the altar of incense. They cannot see what's behind. And Aaron the high priest could only go in once a year. And when I was young in the presence of God, I was taught that when Aaron the high priest go into the most holy place with the blood, you know what? He walks backward. I was told, and this teaches, I don't know, it was kind of strange, you know, he says, Aaron the high priest cannot look at the Ark of the Covenant. He walks backward. You know, go behind the veil and then sprinkle the blood on the altar, you know. I wonder how he's all, if he is not opening his eye, how can he sprinkle the blood? It's kind of strange, huh? The people think that. Aaron goes right in as a high priest and the altar was there. You know, the Ark of the Covenant was there. And the cherubim was there. He ran in, he took the blood, he sprinkled right there. And the thing is that the idea of course, you know, that there will be a light there, very bright, shining there, that Aaron cannot approach. That's the concept of what people would think. Instead of talking about the presence of the Lord. And it's just what we read in the Bible. The pillar of fire by night and the pillar of cloud by day, as it is always burning right there. Did you see it for 40 years when they were out there, or all those length of time whenever the children of Israel moved? That's the concept of what we think it is. You know? But when you read the Bible, again, remember, the Bible used expression, metaphor, we'll call analogy, something that we said to bring out some hidden truth. So one thing you can see is literal, yet below the surface of the literal, there is something that is hidden. You understand? Alright, when God created man, first thing God created was create him in his image. Male, female, created them. Now, as we know, as we go right down to chapter 2 here now. In verse 7. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostril the breath of life. And man became a living soul. So, that's one thing so different from the animals, I said, where God created directly from the dust of the ground. But for man, he created him a spirit first, and then he created a man a body by forming from the dust of the ground a body. And then breathed into that body the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now, I want to clarify a bit here again. What is a spirit? What is a soul? What is a body? When Adam was created, he was a spirit in the image of God. That itself is not a living soul. You understand? Until that spirit can manifest something, then you will be called a soul. And God did not intend Adam to be in that way, because why? The earth is literal, physical. So there is no way that Adam can manifest that spirit which God had given him. Now, we take for example, hey, Brother Gant, wait a minute, Brother Gant. If Adam, being a spirit, was not a living soul, what about God? The Bible said God is a spirit. Your Bible also said that God has a soul. Now, let's look into some of the scripture verses. Let's go to Luke chapter 1, verse 46 to verse 47. Alright, Luke chapter 1:46. This is the benefit of Mary. My soul magnified the Lord, and my spirit have rejoiced in God my Savior. Now, the spirit and soul is always very closely related, huh? Okay, let's go to another one, Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And verse 38. The just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Okay, that's what God said. My soul will have no pleasure. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And verse 21. Who know the spirit of man that goeth upward, and the spirit of the beast that goeth downward to the earth? Spirit of man goes upward. Spirit of man, beast go down to the earth, because they are made from the dust of the ground. They have no living image of God. You understand? That you say when the animal die, that's it. The life of the spirit is taken back. And they go back to dust. Man does not. When you die, man's spirit goes up to meet God in judgment. So one that shows that the man is completely different from all the other animals of this earth. We have to face God in judgment. We have to give an account of this life. Alright, now I said this. God having a soul. How did God express himself? I thought he said, oh, you know, But again, he said if Adam was created a spirit, then he was not a living soul because he had no body. And yet the Bible says God is spirit, and yet God has a soul. And yet God says, my soul has no pleasure in you. Is that right? Well, you know what? Out of the spirit came forth the word. The word stepped forth in the body form. Is that right? When it stepped forth in the body form, a theophany form, you know, Adam, when he created a spirit, it's not theophany. Huh? I want to hope you understand that. Do you know? Huh? God, the Spirit of God is the Spirit of God. When the Word of God comes out of God, it's a theophany form. It's a Word body. And that's when God began to manifest. And that's the sword of God. You understand that? This is, people like to use the term, you know, open up your soul to me. You know, bear your soul. You know, bear your soul. Huh? In fact, that sense that God is bearing His soul. That He wants a family. He wants creation. He wants joy. He wants peace. He wants you. That's why He stepped up and He manifested. You got a difference now? And the soul actually is the nature of the Spirit. That's all that is to you. The Bible gives a simple definition. The soul is the nature of the Spirit. It is what the Spirit is. It will have a certain nature, and that nature will be manifest. Alright, when it's manifest, you can see the soul. You identify what kind of spirit it is in that creature. Alright, we look at, as I said, there are certain characteristics of certain animals. So animals have souls, don't you think so? Because the animal like a dog have a dog spirit. Those animals have no soul. Now, sometimes the denomination says that is to distinguish that man have a soul, and because it's unique, animals do not have a soul. That is not true. Do you know a dog? Do you know a dog is a man's best friend? Or even a horse is a man's best friend sometimes to cowboys? Huh? You would think if you love a dog so much, you know, you have been living with you. Huh? What happens sometimes when, let's say for example, you're very sick or you're dying. You know, the dog can feel it. You know what I mean? And even story of how the dogs sense it and quickly even go and find some help. They have feeling, they have some expression. You know? Sometimes the dog look at you, you know, they're waiting away. Maybe asking you, hey, they have a lick of your ice cream. You know, just pining away, you know. And when you score the dog, sometimes they know. They just put a head down. They look at you like a little child. You don't tell me that's not a soul expression of the dog. Huh? All animals have a certain characteristics. Some have two builds in them. And so when you hear an animal that is outside, they're barking. Now you know that is a dog because we are accustomed to that. So, well, that's a dog because you have that barking, you know. And if you hear anybody go, hee-haw, hee-haw, hee-haw. Oh, you know what that is already. And somebody said, that's a donkey. No, he said, don't be an ass. That's not a donkey, that's an ass. No. He said, that's a horse. Oh, why you fight over it? But you know what it is by identification. And so the same thing when Adam was given a body, the spirit went into that body, the spirit of Adam, and man became a living soul. Now he can express himself. Do you get it? Now he can express himself. You see? That's why even the angels, when God give them a certain work to do, they always come into a form of theophany and appeal to the servants of God and talk to them, right? And that's what we call that the soul, the expression. You see? Alright? Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15:45, but there's one more verse though here. 1 Corinthians 15:45. So it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. You see that? The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. First Adam was made a living soul. So they expressed himself. But of course, the fall came, and the soul of the sinners died. And then the second, the last Adam, Jesus Christ, came. He was made a quickening spirit to give life back to that soul that was dead. You see that? So, you see the expression of the word. All right, now, the other thing to know is, of course, when you talk about the body, the spirit, and the soul, you can see that the spirit is the very image of God. The soul is the nature that express what the spirit is in the body. Got it? All right, now let's go on to the Garden of Eden where we see how man was put in there. Let's go right down in verse 18. We're talking about Adamic man today. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a help meet for him. Well, we have, again, on the website, arguments over help meet and help meet and things like that. I heard the word help meet rather than the help meet. It's a whole lot of different, huh? We the English word say, who is this? Oh, this is my mate. Who is that? That's my help mate. Who is that? That's my help mate. Now, what's the whole meaning of all to that? In the Hebrew, the word help mate is to meet the need. Now, there was no animal, nothing, no animal that God made that was able to meet the need of Adam. That's for sure. But some people say, no, what not? How can it not be? You know, Adam was tired of carrying load and said, donkey, come here, carry this. Meet my need. So, he made the donkey an animal of burden. But that's not what the Bible talks about. Huh? Now, you have a car, huh? The car meet your need, right? To ferry your wife around, to go shopping, buy a whole lot of things home. That you may use the word. But that's not what the Bible uses it for. Help meet is to meet every need that Adam had need for, spiritually, physically, emotionally, mentally. All that the man within himself needs it. Two, that is to complement and supplement everything that is lacking in the man. You know, when Adam was created a spirit, everything was there. But everything was there, but when in the physical, there is something not there. It's different. You know, in God, God is self-sufficient, huh? Everything that is there meets his need, isn't it? You know? So when Adam was in the spirit, yeah, everything was there because it was male and female. But the moment it was in the physical, it's a totally different realm altogether. In the physical, you express through five physical senses. In the spirit world, it's a different sense, huh? But when you come to this world, everything is around you, you have five senses. Think strange thing about the five. You have five openings in your face. You know, two eyes and two nostrils, one mouth. You get it? Okay, close the eye, there's not an opening. But you have what? I mean, the eyes is there, your socket, there's no opening, no hole. Huh? But there are still five holes in your head. The two nostrils here, your mouth, and your ear. Close the eye. There's still five. But front face is five. You don't look at this, your five, there's five points in your face here. You know, you have like your whole trunk. You have five sticking out. One, two, three, four, five. Five. Right? That's what it is. Your end part here is also five. Your end part there is also five. You know, five has good number because what the Bible represents about grace of being the way that God created. You see? So, when Adam was on the earth as a man, there was lacking, because all the animals, they were all created in pairs. They were all created in pairs, that's for sure. We know that. So Adam as a man is hanging there. Well, spiritually, he was okay. You know, everything was there. But physically, it wasn't. You know what I mean? The other half is not there. You know what I'm talking about? Huh? There is something that locked. You know, children play those toys, you know, square hole, square pad. Round hole, round pad, or cylindrical. You see? So, there must be something that lock into it, to complement it. And that's what was missing, you know. And God said, well, there's something missing right here for Adam. And he used the word, God said, it is not good that man should be alone. And you know what? That's actually a mystery I've shown you before. When God said it is not good for man to be alone, He was talking about Himself, where, you know, Jesus Christ being a man is supposed to be someone that's pulled out from His sight. So, you know, all these things are hidden there for us to see something. And so, well, the Bible put Adam, Bible said that God put Adam to a deep sleep. And in verse 21, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which God made had taken up a man, made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of the man. Therefore the man shall leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, and the man and the woman were not ashamed. Now, it's strange, isn't it? First God take one, out of the one make two, out of two go back to one again. That's very good mathematics, huh? you know what I mean? Take one, make two, from two, make back to one. You got it? Two shall be one flesh, make back to two. How wonderful that is. Do you understand it now? Since you take one out of one, there must be another one to complement that. And so when these two complement together, it become one. You see? And that's the way God is, and to show a hidden mystery about it. Okay, now Adam, the Bible said that God took one of the rib. And I expounded this before, that the deep sleep is not really. Now, of course, when we read it, everything looks like literal that day. Huh? Looks literal. Like we say this, maybe next week, as I continue to expound a bit, you understand. You talk about the earth. The whole earth was not Eden. There was a place called Eden. On the east of Eden, there was a garden. You know what? Good. But you know why the Bible used the word Eden? Why the Bible said there is a garden? What is so different about this place? And then Adam was chased out of the garden. On the east side, always going east. And then the Bible is saying that king went out of the garden, out of Eden. What is the Bible trying to tell us about this garden, this Eden? What is it all about? Is it just a literal place? We know it's a literal place, but is it the Bible trying to just tell you about a literal place? Or is it something else? You see? So the same thing here, when God called a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, everybody talked, you know, it'd be nice, wonderful story, like Jack and the Beanstalk thing, you know? You know what I mean? It always sounds so good. But there is always a mystery in what God, you know, record down in the Bible. It's always an expression, an analogy, a metaphor, a particular expression that hides certain truth. So when God called a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, that deep sleep was actually to talk about man must die to produce some life. No, you think it's funny? Do you think I talk funny? Do you know Jesus Christ said, if a grain of wheat die, it will not bring forth much fruit? He says, I'll lay down my life and I'll bring it up. Huh? And the Bible says he was the first fruit and he grows, so Adam follows. Is that right? So unless one grain die, it will not bring forth much fruit. If a grain die, how can it bear? You tell me, you think about something that dies, is dead, really right? That's our mentality, isn't it? But you take a grain of, take a soybean or take a green pea and put in your own, buried, dead. Say your prayer, whatever you want it. The next few days you will start to spring forth. Is that right? That's life. So what is death? If there's no death, there's no life. It's true enough. That's why we say, even in the morning were the first day. Even in the morning were the first day. Even is when you go and rest. You know what I mean? Even you go and rest. Night time comes, you rest. When we talk about darkness, people go to sleep. When a person dies, put in a coffin, it's all dark, closed up. Buried inside there, there's no light. So that's why always darkness refers to something representing death, light representing life. So likewise, it's the same thing when we talk about God caused Adam to go into a deep sleep. Not just sleep, but deep sleep. And Jesus slept at the cross when he died. You know, right? He gave up the ghost, he died. And from his sight, the water and blood came forth. God took from his side the bride for him. And that's what here the mystery actually lies here. It's not man good for man to be alone. Yeah, but not good for man to be alone. You want to create life? Life must show a death. And that is so true, you know. So Adam was put to a deep sleep, which expression about the mystery. And then God took from his sight, or the Bible says, a rib. And you know, and I know, you know what? When I go overseas and preach this, and talk about the rib, you know, because many people came out from denomination, huh, into the message. And many of them really think that, that they really ask them, how many rib do you men have? And some men, we have one rib less than a woman. They believe that. You know what? Because tradition has actually blinded people's eyes, and they think it is. I says, no. I say, huh? But the Bible says one rib is taken out of us, the former woman. And that's what many people really believe it. You see? So we cannot read the Bible and just take it like this. I think it's real that God actually break a rib. Or took a rib out of the side of Adam and take up some chaba. You know what? Some fleshy part of meat or whatever. You know, you just like what we have in good old days, even in China, you know, this sometimes you see them in Chinatown. This what they call dough maker, the maker of dough. They take a stick, that's rib, and they take some dough and they form into some figurine, huh? You know what I'm saying? No, you think God is doing that? You break one rib off, one rib, take a bag. Can you just imagine if that is really true? That is not true. You know what? You know, it's talking about the rib is always referring to the side. So it shows us when Jesus cried down the cross, the spear went into his side. You know. And, people say, is that left side or the right side? Of course, the heart is on the right, left side. Huh? So it will be impossible for the soldier to pierce from this side, whether it's come on the left side, to pierce the heart to see whether he's dead. I mean, the soldier doesn't simply pierce here. You know what I mean? Simply pierce the abdomen. No, he just want to pierce the heart to see whether he's dead. You see, that is the purpose, and that's what it shows here. And then God took up actually the expression, God took up the feminine spirit. You know, the feminine spirit is life. Huh? We talk about the attribute of the woman. So from the Son of Jesus Christ, blood and water comes forth. That is to pay the price to give life to Christ's bride. Remember, he was made a quickening spirit. So until that the man died, the last Adam died, he cannot be a quickening spirit to quicken you. You see? So the blood and water comes forth to show that the life is gone. And the Lord returned on the day of Pentecost to quicken the elect. Quicken those that are foreordained of God. See? So, and now, when God made a woman and then brought it to Adam. And Adam looked at him and said, you are bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. Shall be called woman. Because you are taken out of the man. Well, I don't know why the Adam called her woman in that form, you know, but Isha. Oh, you should be called Isha. Man is Ish. Actually, man or woman is just called Adam. That's why, you know, there is no distinction between the word as man is concerned. Ish and Isha, that's all. You understand what I'm saying? Ish and Isha. Male, female, like just adding the word F-E in front of the male. So you add the word to the woman. Huh? Now, word did not come up. Now, woman is not the war. I mean, you know, woman, all the disasters that come. Actually, the man is to be blamed. Don't blame the woman. Okay, brothers? Isn't it? So, well, you know, people say, always blame, say, the woman is the one that caused the fall. You know, this is the disaster, and the devil know what to do. But, you know, that's why the Satan always manipulates the woman, and the whole world get into what we call woman worship. You know, but actually it's the war came up on the man, right? So we have the woman. So the Bible, when Adam said, thou art born of my bone, flesh of my flesh. Nothing to do with blood here. The expression is different. Born of my bone. Born of my bones and flesh of my flesh. When Jesus Christ was crucified and resurrected, then he came back into the room. where the disciples were hiding. And wow, Thomas and the disciples were all afraid. They thought it was a ghost, a spirit or something. And Jesus said, no, come touch me. You know, he said a spirit has no flesh and what? The spirit has no flesh and what? Come on, flesh and bone, not flesh and blood. Because there's no more blood in Jesus Christ. You all forgot the terms. Jesus, the spirit has no flesh and bone. Huh? Because there's no more blood in the body of Jesus Christ. It's all shed. So it's flesh and bone. The same thing right here. Adam said to Eve, huh, to the woman, thou art bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. Nothing to do with blood. When you talk about the blood, you're talking about the descendant. You understand that? Huh? So Eve did not descend from Adam. You got it? We are all descendant from Noah. Three sons. There's a difference, huh? Zoe is my descent. Descent from me. So I all descend from me. You understand? Okay? But my wife did not descend from me. So the woman did not descend from Adam. It's from the side of Adam. It's to deal with the flesh and the bone. That is to say, it attributed the part that was Adam. The life that was in Adam was taken out. Now you need to understand that different. You understand? Now the other thing is that Jesus also said one place that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Nothing to do with mention of bone, it's just flesh and blood. Which is a term means to say carnality, yeah? This body. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Got it? Now, how then can you inherit the kingdom of God? How then can you inherit the kingdom of God? To inherit the kingdom of God, you must be born again. Right? Huh? To be born again, your flesh and blood, the blood that is in you, must be cleansed of its sin. And how do you apply it to cleanse it? It's to take that spirit of the one who died upon the cross because his blood was shed. Is that right? And then he's looking for the blood. So if you apply the blood of the one who died at Calvary onto you, he will come back and identify the blood and cleanse you. Huh? So once you're cleansed, nothing to do with blood anymore. It's to deal with that you being a part of him, it is bone and flesh. You got it? Now, isn't it interesting? What blood group do you have? Huh? You already, how many type of blood group do we have in the world? A, B, O, A, B. Is that right? Four. Is it four times? Yeah. Plus and models, minus stop. Okay. All the rest is factored. But basically, there are four. Okay. You all have O blood. Many of us have O blood. Huh? A or B or AB. Good. That's all about blood. What kind of blood do you have now? You ask the doctor, if you say, doctor, I'll go to the clinic, they ask you, what's your blood group? Hey, my blood group! R! Oh, royal blood! You think of you? Do you know we have royal blood now, is that right? Do you know the Bible says the blood of Christ flows through my brain? We have royal blood now. Hey, brother and sister, we are sure, you know, you believe that? So, you know, we're not talking, this is just yellow humor here. So we are all now identified with Christ by the blood and by the spirit of his word that comes upon us. Alright. Now we have looked at a little bit about, we're going to close a little while, but just to recap a little bit here. The spirit, when God created Adam, man was created in his image. All the senses, his emotion, his intellect, the feeling, the passion, all that is intact in the spirit of Adam. I want to make you to remember what I told you once about a friend of mine, a Presbyterian, who believed that when a man dies, he's unconscious. And the soul sleep doctrine, you know, that teaches that. It means that when you die, you're buried, you're not conscious. Your spirit did not go anywhere, whatever, or go back to God, but there's no conscious. You're not aware of anything until the day you stand before God in judgment. You know? So, Brother Bam, in his simplicity of definition, you know, the way that Brother Bam bring up some of the definition of things is so marvelous. He talked about the emotion, the intellect, and so on. And then how they say it is tied to the spirit. It's in the spirit. It is not in the in any way, or it's not in the brain. And I say this, and when I look at it, I say, how wonderful that is. It's so simple to say. The Bible says, a new heart will I give it to you. Huh? It says, a new heart will I give it to you. And we always say, oh Lord, we sing a song. You know, I've got a joy, 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 joy down in my heart. You know? We give our heart to the Lord and so on. I'll put my words in your heart and so on, right? You're just talking about what a heart. What is not somewhere else, not the brain or the mind, whatever it is. What is the mind? The Bible says have the mind of Christ. And also the Bible says, Paul said, be transformed by the renewal of your mind. What is the mind? The mind is not the thinking, huh? Which is the thing up here. The mind is a feeling, the expression, the entire, every, the consciousness of everything. I said, the Bible said, be transformed by the renewal of my mind. What does it mean? Change my thinking? Well, where there's just only one step. It's not just changing your thinking. Changing your all, your very consciousness. Your very self, that's the real you. That once you were a sinner and all the thing about it, you need to hold completely changed. And the way to do it, your repentance, and then walk in newness of life. Not just your thinking up here. So when we look at it, when you talk about the mind, it is not seated in the brain. It is seated in the heart. And the mind is where your soul really is, also. And I, you know, the articles that were written before, some years back now, quite a number of years back, and you know, Sandy was trying, was puzzled about the heart itself. There's some little thing that is in the heart that they suspect that something is there. You think, just imagine how did your heart, huh? You can pump by itself. You don't have to tell it to pump, but it just pumps by itself. Only strange thing about the lung is, sometimes we don't realize that we are breathing. Huh? You're not conscious of breathing. And sometimes we say, then you say you breathe out. So, the lungs part, the breathing part, you can activate it, or you just forget it. You breathe by your own. You understand that? But the heart will always pump by itself. What causes it to pump? What causes it to pump? And then doctors say, oh, there is something there. They try to figure that out, whatever it is, the synapse, or whatever, there is something there. Of course, they know there is somewhere in the center, you know, they sense the pulse coming from there. They're thinking, but what causes that to pump the heart? What causes it? And I believe that's the soul. When God took away the soul, it dies, isn't it? The heart stops. Think about it. When the heart stops, means the soul cannot live there, isn't it? It's gone off, isn't it? If God resurrected a man like Lazarus, for example, he's already dried and rotting away. God sent the spirit back, it goes back there and start the heart pumping, the book, everything goes back and Lazarus stepped forward. It has to do with that heart, the human heart, to start it pumping. Because without the heart beating, there is no blood carrying oxygen to the rest of the body. And you cannot live. So, when you talk about the spirit, or the soul, which I said interlinked together, it is situated in the heart. It's in the spirit. The soul. I give illustration here to some, I give illustration to my friend. You take a computer, for example. You take a computer, you program something to create maybe a robot. You feed a diskette, whatever chip you program it, you insert into it. And the robot begins to move. You know? Now, if you take a hammer or something and you whack the computer part or the CPU area of the robot, the robot, it hangs around there, it doesn't move anymore. Right? You take the chip out. You insert the chip to another robot of the same, and the robot starts to move again. As long as the live part, the program part, is intact, the robot will move. So the same thing is that our intelligence, our emotion, our passion, our consciousness, everything is in the spirit. You get somebody knock you on the head and you daze or you got unconscious, and you wake up after several days, and then somebody come up to you. How are you, my husband? Who are you? You have lost your memory. We lost your memory. It's only because the CPU up in your head has gone haywire. Huh? You understand that? The circuit board up here, so to speak, do not function right. The CPU has gone bad. But your spirit still holds the memory of who that woman is. You understand that? If given time, if all those damaged parts begin to heal up, you remember. You got it? Look at a computer today. We have good quality computer, bad quality computer. Huh? Now, the same thing like we talk about human being. Why some of us are born intelligent? Why some of us are not? What causes that? Interesting, huh? Why? Why are some born intelligent? Why others are not? Every one of us are born differently. We're just like computer parts. Like computer, the whole computer system. You got Pentium 4 and Pentium 1. And the old OS system. Huh? You take Pentium 1, Pentium 4. You put the same program into it, Pentium 1 will work faster. It's because it's more intelligent. Isn't it? So because genetically, our body is built up through all the corruptions of time. All the hybriding and inbreeding and whatever. Something went wrong. Huh? The quality degrade or the quality is up. That is how we look at the body. And we look at the brain. But the spirit is inside us. And God is interested to wake up that spirit. The Bible says that Adam, the last Adam, was made a quickening spirit. The interest of God is not to make you intelligent just because you are not intelligent. Huh? Oh, just like Isaiah, is the Chinese not too good? He says, I want to score A1 or whatever it is. And he says, God, you know, make me intelligent and get me A1. No, God is not interested in that. He's interested in just quicken your spirit. You know what I mean? Quicken your soul to know Him, which is more important. Because on the other side, when we get over that side, this body is no longer here. It's not this corrupt body anymore. It's changed. And you will be known as you are. You will be just as intelligent as Bergen. Huh? Everyone will know everything. You know what I mean? We don't have to look to, oh, the person is more intelligent than the person. No, everyone will know. Everyone will be intelligent. Everyone will know as we are known. You see? It is because of the sin, the fall of mankind, the high breeding and all the things that is going on throughout generation of time. That's why, you know, our body, the genes, are no good. So all the parts up here to computerize the spirit of good God has given to man, it can't work properly. That is basically, it is limited. Amen? So let us pray. Father, we thank you for your grace. And we thank you for what you have let us see, Father, all these years to understand, oh Father, our place in Christ Jesus. Truly, Lord, Adam was made a living soul, then oh, how it would have been if sin had not come, Lord, and all the worlds of men and women would have a wonderful eternal life living on this earth, Lord. But it is not meant to be so. You allow, Lord, by your will and your wisdom to bring about something far better than this life, this living soul on this earth, Lord. And we are thankful, Father, that you have shown us the mystery, that Christ being made a quickening spirit to give us eternal life and looking forward to that blessed hope to where our body, this body that is of the dust of the ground, will be changed, Lord, to far more glorious one. And we are thankful, Lord, because from the side of our Lord Jesus Christ, it is where we came from. He has paid the price for us, died, and you have took from his side to fashion a bride for him. And we are thankful, Lord, that we are part of that bride of our Lord Jesus Christ. We give you all the blessing and the thanks, Father, for all that you have done for us now. And we commit this day to you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.